Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Ben goes to Capitol Hill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Fed Chair Ben Bernanke is expected to keep the economy from sinking into recession. Critics say he's been too slow to respond. Interest rates should have been cut sooner and more aggressively. Former Fed Chief Paul Volcker told the New York Times the Fed's not really in control of the situation. That's not the kind of vote of confidence you'd like to have before testifying to the House Budget Committee. Nevertheless, that's where Mr. Bernanke finds himself this morning, and he's expected to offer support for a plan to stimulate the economy. Tech stocks were the losers yesterday on Wall Street after bad news from Intel. The Dow ended down 34 to 12,466. The S&P was off 7. The Nasdaq slid 23 points. Markets in Asia were up overnight. European shares are higher at this hour. Nevada holds its Democratic caucus this Saturday. A hearing this morning could have a huge impact on who wins. At issue is a dispute between the State Teachers Union, supporting Hillary Clinton, and the Culinary Workers Union, backing Barack Obama. The teachers say allowing caucus sites in casinos will unfairly benefit the culinary workers. As Jeremy Hobson reports, whatever happens, the battle is giving unions the attention they've been looking for.
In Nevada, unions aren't dying, they're growing.
There's a lot of concern in the union movement around the country is what's the future of it, and this is, I think, one of the bright spots.
David Damore at the University of Nevada says the reason is simple. A booming entertainment industry means a growing workforce with jobs that are tough to outsource.
You can't clean hotel rooms from, you know, across the ocean.
Nevada's AFL-CIO represents some 200,000 people. The group's leader, Danny Thompson, says that sizable presence shapes what candidates are talking about.
You know, to have presidential candidates talk about the problems that we're facing and not be afraid to say union and talk about working family issues, and people do get energized.
Thompson says union members could make up more than a third of Democratic voters on Saturday. And on Super Tuesday, he says they'll play a big role in union-heavy states like California and New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
115 years ago today, the monarchy in Hawaii was overthrown. A group of businessmen and sugar planters forced Queen Liliuokalani to give up her throne. Hawaiian culture has changed dramatically since then. These days, the islands are home to a fast-growing group of hedge fund managers. Let's bring in Robert Howe of Akamai Capital in Honolulu. Robert, why are these managers setting up shop in Hawaii?
It's not the investment opportunities per se. It's really, you know, where a fund manager elects to sit and, you know, do his work for investing anywhere else in the world. The key to this is that broadband does allow a lot of knowledge-based industries to set up wherever the people want to sit and can still get access to information.
Well, there seems to be a lot of evidence suggesting that Japanese hedge fund managers in particular are attracted to Hawaii. Why is that?
There's several reasons. There's a cultural affinity. There are quite a few people in Hawaii who speak Japanese. And the time zone is attractive. We're actually 19 hours behind, so it makes an attractive day to work the Japanese market. It's so people actually can spend time with their families in the morning or, you know, getting exercise or whatever it is they do. And then the market opens at 2 p.m. in Hawaii time. The last reason is tax and regulatory, and that pushes startup asset managers out of Japan in general.
Are they looking at particular types of companies in particular areas?
There is a bias here toward Asia because of the time zone. If you're going to trade the U.S. markets, you're up at 4:30 in the morning that the New York market opens.
Robert Howe is Asia Fund Manager with Akamai Capital in Honolulu. Robert, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Sure. Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at GrantThornton.com.
On today's list of annoying things, unwanted catalogs stuffed in your mailbox, now there's a new online service to help you choose what you get, and it saves a few trees along the way. Lenora Chu has our story.
Each year, American consumers get 19 billion catalogs in the mail, but only 2% of those catalogs ever spur a purchase. Most go straight to the trash. That's a lot of unwanted mail, says David Mizajewski of the National Wildlife Federation.
And in order to make the paper for those catalogs, it requires about 53 million trees.
Not to mention the emissions from processing that paper.
The amount of energy that goes into it is roughly the equivalent of the amount of energy used by 1.2 million American homes. And of course, it's all fossil fuels.
Enter Catalog Choice. The National Wildlife Federation and several environmental groups have launched a new free service. Go online to catalogchoice.org, pick the catalogs you want to block, and the service contacts the merchants for you. Mizajewski says it can also help catalog merchants save money.
And it doesn't really serve anybody's interest to inundate people with their products and their catalog if it's just irritating that consumer, because they're never going to order from it anyway.
But some companies are cautious about the new service. Research shows catalogs by mail do inspire people to shop online. Plus, companies like L.L. Bean already scrub customer lists periodically to eliminate mailings to people who don't order. L.L. Bean spokeswoman Carolyn Beam.
We agree with Catalog Choice in theory. We want to make sure that it works in practice as well.
L.L. Bean sends out 250 million catalogs a year. Paper and postage is expensive, Beam says, and it's bad business to mail catalogs to people who don't want them. But the company has to be sure that Catalog Choice's information is accurate, so they're cross-checking first with their own customer lists.
We need to be sure that what they are collecting is information that comes from customers.
The consumer response, though, has been huge, says Mizajewski. 270,000 people have used the site since its October launch. But don't celebrate your clutter-free mailbox just yet. Processing a request can take up to 10 weeks. In Los Angeles, I'm Lenora Chu for Marketplace.
And we're always interested in what you're thinking. Email to letters@marketplace.org. I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.